Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there's Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Just as my cat starts yelling at me from the backyard, welcome to Planet Collingwood. My name is Monty Dean. You are on Revolution Radio, Studio A. We're here for the next 2 hours, and we'll try and make light of what's happening in the world, or just our own worlds, and just movie magic as well. Happy Real Star Wars Day. For 45 years ago, on this day, the 25th of May, Star Wars was released into cinemas, and so I'm going to go on about that. Not that corporate silly holiday on May the 4th and May the Sith, or Sith of May, or whatever it is. Corporations. It's the difference between Valentine's Day and St. Valentine's Day. If you enjoyed the last 2 hours, a big thank you to Why Not & Co. for the Y-Files. If you enjoyed the last 2 hours, go to freedomslips.com and or revolution.radio and click on the Patreon button and share what you can. It's going to be within reason. You don't sell the house. You'll need that. Sorry, my cat is yelling at me. We'll get to her in a moment, so she has to put up with it. I bought her a watch. She won't wear it. She can read, though. She can read the clock. Anyway, if you enjoy the last 2 hours, as I say, click on the Patreon, share what you can, because we're 100% listener supported, 100% volunteer. We're just 100%, and we do have free speech within reason, no swearing or hate. Because, that's what we try and aim for. So there you go. Once you're at the website, pop onto the Zazzle store for merchandise or swag or however you want to call it, and buy T-shirts and caps and mouse pads. There's cups, coffee cups, if you want to walk around in your kitchen with, say, Wild at Heart by Noreen, you can in cup form. And then pop into one of many chat rooms. Oh, Freudian slip. Chat rooms. There is two. And the one I'm on is actually on the website because I have so many windows open already. Oh, which reminds me, I should check. Yes, that is happening. Excellent. Yeah. There you go. This is Planet Collingwood, as I said. I have been joined by Raz. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I am. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not sure where the other two cohorts are.
How's your cat?
She's yelling. She wants to be let in to be fed. So if you give me 10 seconds, I'll go do that. So just explain to everyone how awesome you are and give out your bank account details. And so I'll be back in a second.
So, ladies and other ladies, what I've been doing so far is watching Mass Effect Andromeda. Why? Because I care about Mass Effect, and a new one's going to come out soon, Mass Effect 5. So what they're going to do is they're going to bring the popular guy or girl, whatever, back. So,
So there you go. Moment of Raz. Not a Zen Raz. So, many things have happened in the last week. The latest one I'm sure we'll get to in the 2 hours, where, unfortunately, there's been another shooting. Well, the media's focusing on this shooting because I think the death toll is 19 students and 2 adults, so that's 21, which could be break down to 777. However, I think that's a good weekend in Chicago, because Chicago has massive death tolls. Gun-free zones, a lot of gun deaths. Go figure. So we'll get back to that, hopefully. I think, well, Bruce did say he's popping on, and I don't know what happened to Cortec. He's yellow at the moment. Anywho, where was I? So, yes, I'm being pedantic, but also I'm a traditionalist. It is Star Wars Day, and I like the first 6 movies. The last 3 movies, not so much. It lacks spirituality. That's kind of the major problem. I've put forward as well, I'm not a big fan of the Bible, all 17 versions of it, but that's just me. If you connect with it, well, connect with it. You're allowed to. However, I put forward the less than 20 minutes that Yoda is in Empire Strikes Back, you can get more spirituality out of the book, but that's just me, as I said, so I don't want to upset people yet. But, you know, or you could say that the teachings of Yoda condense many religious texts.
Lots of it. Without those religious texts, there wouldn't be any Yoda.
That is true, yes. Oh, yes. Well, the way that George Lucas actually created it, his idea, it came from a psychological point of view, and the Jedi religion's basically not half and half, but a mishmash of Christianity and Buddhism and all that type of thing. And so, because he read, Joseph Campbell? And like the hero story, he was a big student. Yeah.
The moment you said Joseph, my brain said Mengele.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, shut it. Wrong.
No, you have a very good point there, because when you say Joe or Joseph, there's more evil Joes in the world than there's good Joes in the world. Because like Mengele, Stalin, Biden.
We wouldn't want Lucas to read Joseph Mengele and Luke Saul to Star Wars. You know?
Yeah.
The next Skywalker wakes up in a room chained to a lightsaber. It's like, let's play a game.
Yeah, I don't think the movie would have been very popular. The first one, very popular. Like, oh, all the deaths and the gassings and the experiments between twins. Yeah. George, what's wrong? I read this book. sorry, that's just our dark humor coming out of we're not saying, because I'm sure a left person listened to this show, we're not saying that should happen and it shouldn't, you can't joke about these things. There's a new Ricky Gervais special out on Netflix.
Yeah, I've been hearing that,
The 52nd, or about a minute I saw, he does make good points about the transgender world. Mainly just the, not that, transgender are bad. It's more of the political movement of like, you have to obey my pronouns and so on. Yeah. He makes fun of everything. He has pointed that out. And if you don't like it, he I'll say it politely, go away.
I think Gervais and, the reason they allow him is because he's quite good about, a sort of contrast. Because they need someone to put them down in order to get the left to elevate them even higher. You know, because if you only have the left in here elevating them, it just falls apart at one point.
Well, there is the backlash now because,
argue... That's exactly the whole point. That's exactly the whole point, the backlash.
Yeah, well, Disney's in trouble. Netflix's stock has dropped $300 or something ridiculous like that, and so they're firing everything. I would say the permission slip was when Elon Musk started the procedure of buying Twitter, because Twitter's kind of small, but it's known, and it's a massive echo chamber. And if you're a comedian, it's quite fun to be on there. I mean, Raz, you're on there. You know the fun of side of it.
I love Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the one thing about Twitter is if you walk into, well, it was a battlefield. Musk is probably going to change things. However, if you start feeling the energy, like the demon, the digital demons are sucking the energy out of you, turn the app off and walk away. You need to know, you know, I'm sure you don't stay there like, oh, this is terrible, I'll just, you know, 3 more minutes. I'm sure you're similar with me when dealing with Twitter, like, yep, that's enough. Put my phone down, walk away.
Twitter is like a bar in the West Bank. You walk in, and a Jewish person walks in, and an Arab person walks in, and the bartender looks at you and goes, hey, and the bar explodes. Don't take it kind too personal. The bar will explode a lot. They're used to it. That's just how Twitter is. So,
yeah. Twitter is not life. Life is when you put Twitter down. But it can be a battlefield, and there's a lot of humor in it. And, you know, viral on Twitter, so all, you know, 8 million people.
I like Twitter because it provides that true cathartic feeling that you get instead of having a sort of Facebook 10,000-word rant. In here, you see people just tweeting their thoughts, which is a very, very, very cool thing. And at the same time, it brings out the stupidity of human beings. Because Facebook posts, you're going to take your sweet time, you're going to write something, elaborate, and then you're going to post it. You know your neighbors are going to read it, your family is going to read it. But tweeting, you're just tweeting some random garbage. How many tweets have been deleted by the person who posted it? Do you think millions? That's the beauty of Twitter. You get to see those powerful people out there post really, really dumb things, and 10,000 monkeys and chimps who are utterly autistic like you and I will screenshot it and make a meme out of it.
Oh, yeah. Or someone, it could be used against you, like in the cancel culture where it's like, oh, you tweeted this in 2008. Yeah, I evolved. That's 16 years ago. Oh, no. Like, idiots. And the other fun part is when a politician or someone big, when they go through and delete all their tweets because they realize, oh, that's wrong. Like, that's very telling. So if you're brave enough to go onto Twitter, like we are, it can be fun. But as I said, it's if it gets too much to you, and I mean, like, you can click on a tweet, and then there's like all the comments underneath it. If you start feeling like the digital demon sucking the energy, it's like, yep, and that's enough internet today. Yeah, you know when to withdraw.
A sort of personal advice for Twitter amateurs, right after you guys follow Mondi and me, just add like 10 people or 20 people. Never go past 50 because you're not going to be able to read all of them. So just follow a few people that you like. Never comment. Log in, check what's the new tweet, and get out. So every day you'll be doing like 20 minutes of this, not more, because you'll be spending like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And you're golden. Mm-hmm. And in those 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you're going to be learning a lot about the news, a lot of memes, a lot of the new screw-ups, because there will be tons of screw-ups. Mm-hmm. There will be the latest Amy Schumer doing dumb Amy Schumer thing, the latest shooting, the latest this, the latest that. It's quite good. It's not a bad thing. People who say Twitter is bad or is toxic are people who indulge in that toxic nature of it.
Twitter is life. No, it's not. It's a fun reflection of life. It's like you can't walk away from the mirror.
I remember back in 2010 or so, there was this meme out, and the meme was like, I just broke up with my girlfriend. Does she know? Nah, I haven't tweeted about it yet. You don't want to be those people.
No, it's there is that addiction side of things, but I mean, it's with the shooting in Texas. It's interesting to see the reaction from everyone. Emperor Biden, in his, I nearly said infinite wisdom, is like wisdom can't be seen for eternity. However, he said the families that have been affected by this need help. And then walked away from the podium. Like, you want to give some? Hello? Yeah.
You mean families that had their offspring shot with lead need help? My God, what wisdom is that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, such as, Mr. President? yeah, ice cream. And one thing I did say, Ben Shapiro posted on Facebook, as I like to call it, because the CIA, once Facebook went up, the CIA's researchers' job just got so much easier. Well, 3 months of research can be done in 3 hours. That's the joy of Facebook for the CIA. Apparently, the shooter actually broke municipality gun laws. And so, we need gun reform. It's I can understand the outrage because you've just been told over 20 people have been killed at a is it an elementary school? At a school, anyway, children. But that's it's more nuanced than that. It's like, and now I'm not saying, yeah, oh cool, those kids are dead. No. The whole thing is quite tragic. But the reaction where it's being used politically instantly. Is a disgusting, and there is that actual rage because you know what happens to us, but they fall into that trap where it's school shootings. Well, yeah, it's election season. I mean,
what's truly tragic in it is the moment the shooting happens, the immediate reaction is let's look at the shooter's face. If they see a lot of melanin. If they don't see melanin, and then they go off. So we've reached a point in the shooting saga, if I can call it that. People don't care about the victim anymore. People don't care about the shooting anymore. People care about the shooter and his melanin. So the next shooter that happens, if he's like straight out, you know, Congo looking man, everyone in the left is going to try to defend him, and everyone on the right is going to try to put him down. And the gun nuts will do the gun nuts things. The moment he's a white guy, everyone on the right try to, you know, do their thing, and everyone on the left try to do their thing. So we've really reached an age where no one really cares about the victims anymore. No one really see the tragedy in random people getting, well, let's just call it depopulated with lead, to put it simply.
Yes.
And it's straight to the shooter's face, because I saw the shooter's face before I heard about the shooting. It took me a few hours, like, oh, that guy did the shoot. Oh, I didn't even bother.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's Mexican or Latino or a human. Like, I wish, you know, they always do this splitting up things and divide and conquer, a human. And you could see that with the shooting in is it Buffalo, New York, where it was a white man shooting up black kids, black people. But the black guy in the car that ran over all those people in the Christmas parade, that was sort of, oh yeah, okay. And that was around near Kenosha, or it was around, I think it was around the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Interesting enough, there was another trial, I think a state over, about a black man also self-defense, and got off, but the media wouldn't touch that at all. And you've got the subway shooter who was a racist, because I've seen his videos. Him saying, yeah, the white man, blah, 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 blah. I found out, now, I could be wrong, but that's not the point. This is why I'm a comedy show and not a deep, I'm not into journalism. I could be wrong, but I don't care. it could be a journalistic show. Roughly the Caucasian race or the European race, we're about 10% of the population. And so all this white hate, it's like, you know, you're attacking a minority here. Now, obviously in the United States, I think it's under 70%. Here in Australia, it's nearly 90%, but that's because of just, you know, English, the English Empire. We're turning into a minority because they think the white people have been racist all the time. It's like, well, the British elite were. It doesn't mean everyone is. Oh, I forgot what my point was. I just like, 10%. But it's interesting. Like the shooter in New York subway, he was a African American or black or whatever the PC term now is, more melanin, which, you know, doesn't really
melanated
change.
Melanated person of color.
Yeah,
and then we have melanated person of not color. And then we have people of simply color. And then we have actresses of color. Yeah, and then we have simply melanated individuals. Yeah. And then we have white individuals, Latinx who are melanated. It's like this game of, you know, when we were kids and we were learning languages and we had to do like a matching game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the other, I mean, it's gotten to the point where the progressives are regressing. Where, oh, person of color. I thought you didn't like to be called coloreds. And all that, you know, BAM and, you know, POC and all that. Basically, it's saying not white. And that's 90% of the planet. Like, if there's, I read an article, 760 million white people. And if the, for argument's sake, the population of the Earth is 7.6 billion, that's where they get the 10%. Now, so if there's 7.5 people, or 7 people, because a half person's like, quick, get a doctor. But 2 of those are Indian, from India, and 2 of those are Chinese, and 1 is white, if you know what I mean. And so it's just...
This is what we call multicultural whiteness.
Oh, yeah, well, apparently some Hispanics can be white. It's like, what, you mean the Spanish?
I know I fall in the category of cultural whiteness. First, I look brown, and I was socialized in colonial French culture. Speak perfect French. Love the French culture. And completely issued other cultures in my life for you know, to favor the French culture. So I'm part of the multicultural whiteness problem.
As long as you don't have if you don't have the French arrogance.
Oh, I do.
Don't worry, I just by saying that sentence, like, oh, I've got that British arrogance, don't I?
Hey, it's a matter of pride. I got the French arrogance, I got the French existential dread, I got the French depression, I got the French for taste for baguette, croissant, all the goodies from the pastries, all of it.
Well, if you know French, you know a third of the English language already. So, I mean, that's a bonus. Mm-hmm. Like station, which I think it's...
Station.
Yes, station. But in English, that would be spelled S-H-U-N, but it's T-I-O-N. It's Tion. Now, in French, station makes sense. In English, it's like, nah. Or actually, there's a comedian, Al Murray, who pointed out how he didn't make a whole political grandstand out, how the English language is being lost. Because, you know, when you walk into a building or like a house or something, oh, this is the foyer. Well, that's a bit French. We call it a hall.
Earlier, I was talking about the whole BAME, Obama, how do we call those in Hollywood? Have you seen the latest Thor, God and Thunder?
I don't think it's been released yet, but I have seen promo stuff for it, and some of it's like, well, someone's on acid. And other stuff, I'm like, okay, where's this going?
Taika Waititi is on acid, I think.
That explains a lot. I'm not a big fan of his.
His fingerprint is all over it.
Yeah. But Christian Bale, oh, you'll love this. Someone on Twitter, this is, you know, I get a lot of material from Twitter. There's a meme of Christian Bale. He plays a god of some sort, but he's very pale and white. And so there's a photo of Christian Bale out of makeup and in makeup. And the wording is Christian Bale, atheist Bale.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Christian Bale and atheist Bale, yeah. So why can't I my God.
Yeah, I mean, after the visual explosion of Ragnarok, where it's like, man, someone hasn't left the 80s, have they? Or he's really doing a lot of LSD. It's like the colors, children, the colors.
The thing about, let me check his name on. I got Wikipedia, Taika. Taika is a good director, producer. However, his flair for humor needs to be checked, preferably with a very 40-year-old, 50-year-old mistress with that all bitter, sour British personality whacking him every now and then and say, that's enough.
Yeah. So like the colony. Yeah. Well, that you've just explained the Commonwealth, the English Commonwealth. No, yeah, stop that.
He needs it because this is a movie about Thor. You do a little bit of humor, cool, but he's going to exaggerate the humor, you know? Thor is going to walk in and something stupid is going to happen to him. So earlier, I was listening to Nerdrotic, and he had Nerdrotic was there, Az was there, and I think Mueller was there, the whole team, and they were discussing this trailer, and they were very, very angry about it. Mm-hmm. Very angry about it. They didn't like the trailer at all. No. They felt this character has been humiliated beyond human comprehension of what we call humiliation.
Yeah. For those playing at home, Az, Mueller and Neurotic, they're not extreme, but they push the boundaries, if we can say it that way. I can understand, like, most people will go, oh, okay, they're doing that. But because of their YouTube channels and their style, they sort of amplify it ever so slightly. However, I mean, I stopped watching it because they've been doing it for 4 years. I'm like, oh, dude, name something good. Just name something. Or when they do, it's like, Pennyworth. Yeah, saw that. It's good. Anyway, let's have a look at Marvel. And they rant about that for 3 hours. But these they're guys, good at what they do.
They are very good at what they do. And they are not extreme at all. In reality, you and I hate more of the social justice in these movies than they do. They actually look at it from a very neutral filmmaking lens, which, I'll be honest, we can't do. But they do. Mm. Yeah, they're actually very good at what they do.
Yeah, they praise the source material and they can see the death of their characters. What was it? Red Letter Media, back when I think it was The Last Jedi, they did a review of that. And there's a great moment which has been memed to death because it's basically like, what's it like being alive to see all your childhood franchise being slowly destroyed? And it's like, yeah, I'm okay with it. Because, yeah, it Doctor Who's shown. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it feels great. Because let's be neutral in a certain sense. They're all changed. Some will say better, some will say worse. Most people, well, we're talking about it's worse, but like Star Wars is not George Lucas Star Wars, it's Disney Star Wars. Doctor Who has changed direction. What else? Star Trek. I can't recognize Star Trek. I know it says Star Trek on the box, but I have no idea what it's doing. I think Judge Dredd's had a hint of wokeism, and that's what I was getting at. Like, some people explain woke, and it's basically bad writing with a political message. That's the simple version of it, where storytelling is sacrificed to get the message out there. And it's these far-left extremist PC. And have you noticed, though, I mean, the right wing's not exactly the bestest in the world, but most of them just want to be left alone to live their own life. It's all these
most
far
of them
left.
Most of them don't know what to think. If tomorrow social justice disappears, they wouldn't even know about it.
See, ignorance is bliss, but I'm not ignorant.
They wouldn't know about it. They wouldn't know about it. They will go on with their lives.
Well, but they'll notice no things will get better because it's that.
Social justice didn't condition people into believing certain things, they conditioned them to be without the ability to think about certain things.
Well, yeah, and even like, there's a Doctor Who story from the 70s called The Green Death, where it's basically the story is the Doctor investigates these large maggots where there's toxic dumping. And it turns out, because it's a sci-fi program, it turns out to be an AI computer that's trying to take over the world. You know, normal stuff. But they keep saying, oh, that's woke. But it wasn't. It was an allegory through good story because the producer slash showrunner was a Buddhist loving left, not lefty, but left. He was on the left. But the scriptwriter, Terrence Dix, he would be, on the right, but he wasn't really a right wing, nut job, as they say. But there was perfect balance because you make it for everybody. And now it's all like Chibnall's, like, you know, pollution's bad. I'm like, okay, 40 minutes to be told off. Great. Instead of actually watching the story and realizing, you know, maybe we should look into this toxic dumping thing. It's a good idea. And instead of grandstanding, oh, hang on, I've got to go let the cat out.
I can hear your cat. Yeah. I could hear that cat. That was an instant, where the fuck are you? Oops, I can't say that word. Where the F are you? Whoops. Let me say it in French. Où es-tu? Hmm? Tu dois ouvrir la porte, il dit, hein? Or to put it in Mauritian. No, it's best if I don't talk that language. So, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. She didn't actually want to go out. She was in the bedroom going, meow. I'm like, ah, for the love of...
I was just translating what your cat said in French, and it sort of fell apart right there, so yeah.
No, that's all right. The one listener that listens from France, that was very good. Oh, now hang on. Now what? No, you still... What are you doing in the bedroom?
T'en veux quoi? T'en veux quoi? Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, yes. When I ask her, she meows, I answer, nothing. it's that classic parent thing of like, Sam? Yeah. Why didn't you come when I called you? You didn't say you'd come here. It's like...
I wonder if one day we can get a device, the kind of device that says the moment they meow, it translates and then feeds it to our ear. How fast before we get rid of that? The first 2 days will be grand. But the third day, the 1 week in, you know... Yeah.
Well, see, now, to be fair, for to make it actually work, is the cat needs a translator as well.
Yeah, I think they already did a joke on that. Was it the dog one?
Oh, there's one from the Far Side, Gary Larson. Genius, actually. If you want, if you're feeling, you know, how we mentioned occasionally, if you're feeling sad, go look at some comedy. Go look at Gary Larson because it just his mind is just works so brilliantly. But he did in one panel. Like he didn't do multiple panels. It's usually one panel and gets the joke out. And it was what dogs are really saying, and all the dogs in the drawing going, hey, hey. Every time they woof, they say hey.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be, especially to all the vehicle. Hey, hey, hey,
hey, next vehicle. Hey, hey. Yeah. So, let's go a bit woo-woo. There, you can teach yourself, or there are, if you do the right inner work, there are ways of actually communicating with animals. There's a brilliant documentary from, I think, South Africa, from Africa at least, where this couple runs a refuge, open air zoo. I can't think of the right word. And they had a puma, I believe it was, from Germany, and he was called El Diablo.
El Diablo.
Yeah, which you find out a bit later. I don't like the name. I really don't.
We should make a comic strip like the couple's cub comes in. What should we name him? Maybe we should name him Sam or Jim or El Diablo. And the puma's like, que cara? Que? Que cara, cabrón?
I don't want to be called the devil. Thank you very much. However, that didn't help. And he just hid from everybody and was lashing out at the park rangers. Park, that's it. Open head zoo type, you know, safari park type thing. And they finally got a lady that is able to communicate with animals. And it blows away everyone that watches the documentary. But it blew away the two owners who are animal lovers. And they were that worried they actually heard about this lady and got her in. And she was communicating with him. And the one thing that I can't remember what they called the puma, but they stopped calling him El Diablo because, like, yeah, I don't like the name. Yeah, fair enough. And after a couple of sessions with this lady, he became really nice and wasn't threatening or anything else like that and would come out of his cage or enclosure and everything else like that. When he was in Germany, I think it was Berlin Zoo, there was two cubs next door in the cage, and he was asking about them, and that was one of those things of, hang on, she's not making this up, like this is actually true. And short story is those two cubs ended up at that safari park with him, and it's a facet. It's like about 7-8 minute long video. I can't remember what it's called. Cortex not here to do the internet search. However, it's amazing where it's, you know, Dr. Doolittle aspect type thing. Now, cats do understand sound. It's usually the intent from the sound. It's I don't know if they actually understand English. Like you've got a cat, haven't you? And I'm sure you speak to it in French. And I imagine if you've got a cat from Germany,
got like got nine of them.
Yeah. So do you trip them up by changing language? But it's a higher frequency element, and they can communicate, which is a skill that we can be taught somehow. I don't people who can do it now, it's kind of a gift, but I'm sure that's one, part of the Great Awakening, and able to talk to animals. And as you said, it's going to be very very interesting for the first.
It's not a puma, it's a leopard. It's the incredible story of how leopard Diabolo became spirit and break and back, animal communicator, got it.
Okay, yeah. Yes, that's just fascinating. So, you're right, though, if you can actually have it. I'm not 100% on when I talk to my cat, but because there's so much familiarity and our frequencies have melded.
I posted it on chat so you can get the title of it.
Oh, yes, the Angu. I'll just
7 million views.
Yeah. 13 minutes. No, don't play your stupid friggin' thing. The incredible story of how Leopard Diablo became Spirit. Oh, they changed the name to Spirit. There you go. Yes, I can't say that. Bray Ten Buck. I think she's
Bray Ten Buck. Yeah, Bray Ten Buck.
Yeah. Comments are turned off. Oh, really? Well, there you go. Actually, I'll post it in the chat room on Revolution Radio. Because they were talking a lot before the show, and the only thing that's happened is Valerie and Flippy have joined in 20 minutes. So there we go. Give it 30 seconds for people to catch up. It's a fantastic story, and I would say if someone watches this, they may have a better communication with their pets or animals, because it's that whole four-minute mile thing. When humans see it be done, they sort of give themselves permission slips to do it themselves. So there you go. And that will be a massive leap forward in consciousness if we could, if everyone started doing that. I've talked to my goldfish.
Animal communication was supposed to be talked to us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, I know a lot of people stop doing sex acts in front of their pets.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how you keep watching that video? Yeah, I'm telling all my friends. Damn it.
It's also a sort of energetic exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking, they're participating in what we call in Hoo-Hoo language, the dirty underwear. And you don't want your cat to be part of that shot and the job and the other bang.
We don't need to go that far, but because I've heard a friend of my dad's, so like a guy was you make love to your wife, but the two poodles would just stare strangely if you see where they're looking. It's let's be fair, the animals can walk out of the room, but they stay. Our best
they
representation.
They can walk out of the room, but it's in their Akashic record forever. Exactly. One day they'll be reading it. They'll be like, that asshole. That's what he was doing.
What was it like on Earth? Oh, it was just really terrible. I mean,
I do know someone, though. I do know someone, and he had this lovely puppy named Pepper. And every time he would try to get intimate with his wife, Pepper would jump in and be like, what? You're looking at my bird? It was a short little thing. It was like he gets really defensive.
Yeah.
At the moment anyone approaches her.
Well, that kind of makes sense because always pets usually have a mission for the person that ends up owning's not the right thing, but as a companion. The pets have missions to be here. And so, obviously, it's like, you married the wrong broad, dude. Get away from him, you dirty man.
Eddie Griffin talked about that Eddie Griffin, he was talking about cats, and he's like, I hate dogs, I love cats, cats are independent. But cats can sense, you know, when you're troubled emotionally. And that was the one time they jump on his lap and, you know, they tried to comfort him and everything. Eddie Griffin talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
In his stand-up.
I haven't seen much of Eddie Griffin's stuff, but what I have seen, like, yeah, I can see why he's huge. He's very good at what he does. I've only got one movie of his. It's called The New Guy. And it's like 2002, and it's basically just a teen movie, but it's done well. and
he did he was in European Gigolo.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, they were ahead of the whole vagina thing, men with vaginas.
Oh yes. But yeah, they do sense when you're feeling down. A friend of mine, she lost her cat. He was 15. Obviously, his mission was up, but he didn't like anyone else, just liked her. And when she was going through her trauma of just living, he was always there to, you know, comfort her and make her happy. And, you know, I've noticed that having a cat, technically you're not alone. So there is
you're not.
So I mean, obviously, you know, human contact is good, but you can't say I'm alone. Well, you can't say you're alone. You got 9 cats. That's an army.
Well, yeah, I got 9 cats destroying the house sometimes. it's just fun to watch them. And when you have a lot of cats, you stop giving them, you know, cutesy name, and you start to name them based on their personality. One is a real felon, so his name became Felon. One is a real, what we call Matu, or what we call Tomcat, you know, so his name became Tomcat. So that's how it is. I will up the level here a little bit, spiritually speaking, and I will tell a story. There was this one lady who had a dog. Now her dog was, his health was deteriorating a little bit. So she called Andrew, and Andrew told her how that dog has been beating the crap out of every single demon who got near the lady. And what the lady simply had to do was to just pet the dog and give the dog a little bit of attention. That's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, well done.
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's even like, because I was listening to Sean David Morton, don't turn over now. well, it's only 18 minutes. However, they sleep a lot, like 20 hours a day, and they're usually on the astral plane defending the area and stuff like that. And Scoffy's been trying to tell me something for 4 years, and because it's been constant, it's getting it's lost in translation, so I'm not picking it up because it's sort of been pushed through, and my brain just goes nuts. I have no idea. So we've been joined by Bruce McDonald, who has many pets or animals around him as well. How are you, Bruce?
Not too bad. I would have been here on time, but the cat knocked over the modem.
Ah, true story. No. Interesting enough, we're talking about cats and pets, and like how their communication with humans, as well as their mission, and they do certain things. Obviously, you weren't supposed to turn up till now. The Planet Collingwood's on. Bye-bye modem.
How am I coming through live from the Telemachus?
Lovely.
Good.
Yep. As I said in my last show, the boom mic dominance age has begun.
So I'll just saddle into the conversation as it was flowing, or I could pivot.
Well, we can pivot because we've got something. Did what, 10, 15 minutes talking about pets and cats, so I'm not sure.
So far, we've been through shooters, Star Wars, Thor, cats, and one lovely cat named Diabolo.
Yeah, I forgot all about that shooting in Texas today. I mean, that's how long it lasts now. It's like 30 minutes. Oh, yeah, another mass shooting.
Well, the far left are running with it politically. Like, I've seen stuff where there was one from Occupy Democrats far left organization, and like where are all the pro-lifers now type thing. Like, really, can't we grieve for a day before you start making it political? And I did mention earlier, now I'm repeating it for Bruce, so dear listener, you heard this about 20 minutes ago. Joe Biden basically said that those families need help, and then walked away from the podium. There's leadership for you.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So the most amazing thing I've heard in the last 3 or 4 days comes from Davos. You guys have been following Davos?
Not following it, but I have. It's popped up on my radar.
Yes,
and
I have been.
Was it Jack? What's his last name? A journalist was detained, and they had the camera on him. As well as I've seen, you know, groups of like 3 or 4 armed police walking around for, and it's like, okay, yeah, we need more gun control, but the police have military hardware. This is going to work out well.
Yeah.
So what have you seen? What can you share?
Well, first, just a general commentary. It's interesting to me that, you know, Davos is being approached now the way Bohemian Grove was 20 years ago with Alex Jones. It's like second generation alternative media. You got Rebel News down there, and very interesting. The Rebel News is just going to cafes near where all the meetings are happening, and they're just the people they bump into, and they just throw a mic in front of them, like senior editor from the New York Times, like, are you here reporting on this, or were you invited as a member? No comment, and all that sort of stuff. But the most fascinating thing said at Davos was by 98-year-old Henry Kissinger. I guess they wheeled him out in a wheelchair. And he basically said, anybody with half a brain can see that you should just give Putin Crimea and Donbass and get the hell out of there. It's going to be catastrophic for the West. So obviously he knows that already, you know, but they want to pretend that they didn't. This wasn't their intent to begin with, right? It's getting pretty obvious now.
Yeah, yeah, it's a whole debacle. And someone who's not a debacle, because I need to figure out my segues, we've been joined by Harry. Now, Harry, actually, in the chat room, Flippy has gone, cat knocked over the modem. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. Like, yeah, I'll read that book. So another book I'd like to read is, where on earth is Harry today?
Speaking about half brains, half a brain, I'm actually I can't say sunny Queensland, it's miserable, wet and torrential rain Queensland, with constant flood alerts in the region I'm in. And I'm in my little cozy 13-foot caravan and loving it.
Does it turn into a boat? Because it makes sense, the amount of water being dropped up there.
Well, there's a little stream, when it's raining hard, there's a little stream out the front of on the grass that I have to walk through.
Oh yeah, yeah. Be careful of that. Yeah, batten down the hatches.
What's the event there, Harry? Why are you living like Tyson Fury in a pikey?
Well, I figured with all this stuff going on, and especially the lockdown.
What are you talking about? This stuff going on. What do you mean? What do you give us a few details?
Yeah, well, like most of the politicians are on meth. It's true.
Come on, are you kidding me? You mean Adderall, right? Prescription meth
or whatever. But it's been since the 1980s, it's been a big push to get stuff. But anyway, the point being is I'm sort of up country looking at talking to people about building systems and design for free energy systems and things like that. All these plans I've collected over the years, and there's people interested in knowing how to build them with the know-how, so, and the money. So eventually, hopefully, I'll get something happening here. I've joined a local, Common Law Action Group, in Gympie. And they're all about, you know, recognizing the autonomy and, you know, denouncing themselves from the system. But really, that's okay. But you're only going to be like a few peas in a huge garden of pods. that we've picked off one by one, you know, if you look at it that way. What we need is a direct action. It's a direct strike against these people who are running the show, you know.
Yeah. There is enough space up in Queensland. Queensland is rather large. It's like a quarter of the size of Australia, as well as it's referred to as the Sunshine State. But for the last 5 months, it's been drowning with water because of they say it's a century or a 500-year storm or something like that. The weather's being weathery. But that doesn't surprise me because a lot of people, because of the sunshine and the nicer weather than the southern states, a lot of people go up to Queensland to get away from all the madness. Then they realize when they get to Queensland, oh, they've got their own unique madness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are quite, well, I mean, it's pretty, there's a lot of retirees up here, you know,
mm-hmm.
in this area, local town.
A very bad example of Queensland, you could say Queensland is like the Florida of Australia.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Florida's a pretty rocking place these days, actually, under DeSantos.
Well, actually, yes, it is. Now, the closest country or landmass to Queensland is Papua New Guinea. It's no Cuba. So, I mean, there is the differences. So, but unfortunately, the Premier of Queensland is a bit of a nut job, and she showed her colours during the lockdowns and pandemics, and it was a lot of Victorians left here because of the insanity, and they got up there and it's like, oh, this is insanity with sun. So it's
Queensland's state has a dictatorship. It doesn't have a Senate in their parliament.
Yeah, I think they changed their constitution or something weird like that. Yeah, there is a push actually, if you're aware of it, Harry, the northern Queensland, far north Queensland, wants to break away and create their own state. I don't think they'll be allowed to, but there is, because Queensland's so big, where I think from the southern border to the tip of, what is that called, Cape, the pointy bit, it's what, 2,000 kilometres or something like that. It's a very large coastline.
Yeah, I live in...
Harry.
Yeah.
They got the monkeypox down there?
I don't really care because... I'm suffering from gorilla gash, and that supersedes everyone.
Oh, there's a topical
so far,
cream for that.
Only like Belgium has a lockdown. No one else.
Yeah, Belgium's gone into not a lockdown, but apparently if you get monkeypox, you have to isolate for 3 weeks. That's what I saw written somewhere. Apparently there is a monkeypox case in Sydney as well as Melbourne, and they're blaming it all from England. And for something that comes out of Africa, it's not in Africa. It's all come out of the United Kingdom. And, of course, Bruce, you'll love this. Everywhere that – only 197 or 20 – it's minute compared to the population. But it's all the westernized countries that have this problem.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, despite all the rumors of where it originated, I found out exactly where it's originated in the Vatican. Because it started with the poxy monks.
Little Timmy will trip and fall off a stair, and the cause of death will be monkeypox. That's what's going to happen.
Well, they are saying that apparently someone had sex with a monkey. Like, really? Oh. How desperate are these people?
Let me quickly explain this. Monkeypox is just the vaccine side effect kicking in. But instead of saying, hey, you remember that crappy vaccine we pump you guys full of? That's the side effect of it. They're calling the side effect a whole new pandemic. That's what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. I had a guy get died. Anyone with half a brain will realize that he was carrying the vaccine is the after effects of all that crap.
Have you met humans, Harry? I know you have. It's a rhetorical question. A lot of people believe the media. I mean, the media seems to be or is the enemy to humanity. However, there's all this censorship that's going on as well. Like the YouTube algorithm once again caught up with me, and I got a community strike for it. I'm like, ooh, I'm special. Now, the show was called So We Say Biden to Trump, wordplay, but it was the 20th of January 2021, and so right now till I think next Tuesday I cannot upload, post or stream on my YouTube channel because I've got a strike.
Renegade.
So, So, I think, well, I've got Odyssey, Rumble, and BitChute for this exact problem. So, and I've gained subscribers as well, which I find interesting. So,
You think they're gonna be spreading that monkeypox relief fund around anytime soon?
Well, I don't know. See, like, how close, like, from the bits I've seen from the United States, a gallon of gas is over $6, which apparently is the same price that it was in the movie I Am Legend. Interesting. As well as they wanted, you know, all these problems and now it's the gun control. I've seen one person say, when will the government deal with gun control and mental illness? Everyone else is just doing gun control. It is actually a mental illness problem. Because if every American that owned a gun was crazy and is going to shoot up the place, that would have happened with Prohibition kicked in the 1920s. Let's be honest.
Actually, that's a great advertisement I can do when I'm busking is put a sign up and say Gorilla Gash Band Aid for monkeypox. There you go.
Well, yeah, be careful with that, but yeah.
The funniest thing that happened in the last couple of weeks was a lot of women in the West forgot how to breastfeed. They need baby formula now. If they don't get baby formula, the baby's done for. Now that is sad.
Surely it's written in this in their memories.
No, it's not.
No, because it's the modern
you
day.
You need baby formula now.
Yeah, in modern day life, where medical science is 100% perfect and we can cure everything. Well, except for COVID, cancer, tuberculosis, famine, you know, little things like that.
Speaking of which, I was back in, I think I might have told you guys, I was back in 2008, I was in Brisbane, and I went to this wild artist slash musician party in South Brisbane there, the local hip scene, and I was hanging out in the kitchen with these other fellas, and this chick walks in, lifts up a T-shirt, grabs her right breast and squeezes it and squirts lactates all over us.
Jeez.
And she goes, I've never been pregnant or anything. She just, that's her party trick.
Yeah, I did have a jokey quote, you know, careful, I'm lactating. But she is, so.
Yeah, but that, I mean, it was a constant thing with her, you know?
Yeah. Well, go back to the end of World War II, how much pesticides and chemicals and, microplastics in the world as well. It's, you know, I can see why some people say we're in hell. It's like, well, we can leave.
That
right now,
thing is a very Californian thing, really.
Oh, well, we'll get to that. We are at halfway here at Planet Collingwood. You're on Revolution Radio Studio 8.
Hey, yo.
Come back after the messages and we'll continue saying hey yo.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And welcome back to Planet Collingwood here on Revolution Radio Studio A. My name is Monty Dean. If you enjoyed the last hour, please go to freedomslips.com and or revolution.radar. Why did I say radar? I have to watch MASH now. Revolution.radio and click on the Patreon button and share what you can feasibly. Don't sell the house. We don't accept children. I mean, it's very hard to get them through the post these days, let's be fair. And once you're at the website, pop into the chat room as well as the merchandising section and buy caps and T-shirts and all wonderful things of Revolution Radio. Now, because we can't really play music on Revolution Radio because we're not paying for a license, which is fair enough because that way the musicians get money for said music, and if we don't, we get in trouble and get kicked off the air. I'm starting a new thing here at Planet Collingwood. After the break, I'll just read some lyrics, and hopefully YouTube doesn't kick me off for that. I'll kick me off for other things, let's be fair. But this song is called New Day. A New Day by Carnival. They're out of Perth. They're sort of a proggy metal rocky type of band. They're quite good at what they do. And yeah, New Day. And so here we go. How did they find me? How did they know? This misconception of fate, I'm about to let go. Awake in a new light, I'm alone in this room, heavy at heart. It may be a lie, but you will not see me. It's a new day. Why did they follow me home? It's a new day. One more step. It's here waiting for you now. Go, slow, take your time. Leave, no, Mark. You lost your way. I hope you're watching me. One more step. It's here waiting for you now. Go, slow, take your time. Celebrating for the one so free. You've lost your way. No one held you back from me. How do you all speak with a lying tongue? How do we all sleep with a dying sun? Sit down, lighten your own. This storm is coming. You should stay home. But I feel warm. I'll stop there because it goes on. It's a 7-minute song. So there you go. I just thought I'll try something new. Jeez. And, yeah.
Well done.
Thank you very much. That way I don't have to play the song and get in trouble. I thought I'll do it because when I was filling in for Strange Universe, I sung the opening lyrics of Faith No More's epic. And if I do it in – not a Shakespearean thing, but, you know, I'll probably do Iron Maiden next week.
Yeah, very nice. Somebody told me today I have two faults. I don't listen and some other shit they were rattling on about.
What?
Oh, Jesus. I got to start trying these meme jokes on air. I guess they're only funny when you read them. It's in a writer's group I belong to on Facebook. It's the funniest thing I've seen all day. Someone told me I have two faults. I don't listen and some other shit they were rattling on.
All right. Yeah, sorry, I was listening. I was reading a message.
Is this a comedy show or what?
Yes, and I just explained what was going on. You know, God, my God. Happy Star Wars Day, by the way, Bruce.
I was laughing on mute.
Yeah, that's the best thing for a comedian, to not hear anything. What are your pronouns again, Bruce? I can't remember.
I'm identifying with transparent, Monty. Transparent, and my pronouns are who and where.
Oh yeah. See, you just like volleyball. You set it up, and Bruce comes in and spikes the ball. Take that. Take that, New World Order.
I try the material out. You know, I come with material. Oh yeah. So I went to a restaurant today, and I said to the waiter, I said, "Can I ask you about the menu, please?" And the guy said to me, I think I'm getting old. I don't understand this new generation. He said, "The men I please are none of your business."
Well, obviously not a primary school teacher from Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't a good double tap.
Well,
at the Federal Hotel today in Maryborough, and on the female toilet door had abbreviation for women, trans, and female. W2F.
Ah, okay. Well.
That's sort of what would happen if you walked in there.
Oh, yes, well. Oh, nice. Sorry, I'm just being massaged. Those French words, eh? Anyway, yeah. We were talking about something, obviously, and I completely... I found out by the quarter...
We're just killing time, Monty, till God smites the world.
Oh, yeah, judgment comes, which, ironically, it's not actually the prime creator, it's yourself. And so, you know, if you've done wrong, it's that classic thing. I've been saying, I keep telling Andrew Butts, it's the Galactic Historian, he should make a T-shirt and sell them. And the quote is, "It's me, isn't it?" Because every time he does a call-in show, at least 80%, even when I'm talking to him, there's that realization of, oh, it's me, isn't it? Because like, most of the demons and everything, because, you know, we have this capacity to create however we're on this earth, and the mainstream reality that they put forward is fake and unattainable. And, of course, humans try and fill that void and make up a lot of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There's the spiritual moment of Planet Collingwood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, religion for most people is like that blanket for Linus.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even people say, what religion are you? I say Jedi, because if I had to choose a religion, I want the one with the better merchandising.
I said I'd have a talk with my dog today, Monty. I went up to him. I said, "Hey, Saul, the neighbor tells me you're chasing people on a bicycle." And my dog said, "He's lying. I don't even have a bicycle."
Oh, look, a talking penguin. Yeah. you need a bit of levity, break up the old conversation, you know, especially how can you make jokes when there was a gun shooting in Austin or just outside of Austin? Because the same amount of people die each weekend at Chicago, and you don't care. Yeah. Which is a gun-free zone. So, you know, apparently, the reports that I've seen with the shooting is he had a pistol and maybe a rifle. I'm like, this is wonderful journalism. But I mentioned in the last hour, Ben Shapiro did share that the shooter did break municipal gun laws. So how is there going to be gun control when they just all these shootings happen in gun-free zones? At the same time, you hear people saying, arm the teacher. Well, do you remember that some idiot went into a church in Texas and started to try and shoot people, and he was taken down in 3.2 seconds because someone was concealed carry? Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, how far back do I go? Okay, there's a state called Texas, right?
I think the biggest tragedy right now is all those chickens who just burned to death. Now that's tragedy.
What chickens are we talking about here?
Some chicken processing plant. Like they produce process, right? 37 million chickens every week.
Oh. So you think the firefighters are sitting there going, who's hungry? This barbecue smells awesome.
It's like that must be one fire that smells really, really good.
Yeah. It's like they're targeting all these different industries.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, so what, that makes it 20? Like, that's the other thing of, your conspiracy theories, you make things up. No, it's called pattern recognition. And when, the 20th food processing plant that has caught fire or exploded in 6 months, you kind of notice.
The Great Famine is coming.
Yeah, which is not natural. They're creating it themselves. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, in the UK, the UK government is asking farmers to retire, and they've put a package together. At the same time, they're saying, oh, there could be food shortages. Well, maybe keep the farmers in their jobs then.
Probably we just have to wait for Bill Gates to come in and say, guys, we're planning the next food shortages, and everyone will be like, and still not believe it. Because those guys exactly tell us everything.
Well, Bill Gates, who's a businessman, and that's about it. I don't see how all of a sudden he's a medical professional, a farmer, and all this other stuff. And I remember in one, it was at least a week, maybe in one day, there was five different articles on Bill Gates, and one of them was, what's his Spotify list? Like, who gives a crap what Bill Gates listens to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, his Spotify list, yeah.
I
think it would be better to listen to the world's most boring man's iPod instead of that crap.
Well, the most boring man has integrity, so you are correct. And so, the thing is, I'm exactly like Bill Gates. I, too, don't have a medical degree, but I'm not like Bill Gates. I'm allowed into India.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the indirect ring. Did you see Joe Rogan have a go at him on his own health? It was lovely because Joe likes a bit of health. He trains, he eats elk meat, and he does all this stuff. And there was footage of Bill walking across the road, and it's like and just ripped into shreds. Like, how are we supposed to? Why should we listen to him about health, where he's just a software producer? And he's completely overweight and out of touch of reality. I'll stop there.
But there is a kind of thematic continuity to his life if you center just on viruses. It's very interesting when you think about it because – and go ahead, Monty. I think you know where I'm pulling on that thread.
As a slight parallel to that, you've condensed it quite well, but have you noticed every time that something Bill Gates invests in happens about 3 months later? I'm getting into vaccines. Oh, there's a pandemic. I'm getting into farms. Oh, there seems to be a fan. But the viruses, I mean, he's just jumped from the computer. Bill, I mean, I've got a Mac. I don't know what a virus is, which is the joke. But I keep getting – this is the spam I get on my Hotmail account. I still have a Hotmail account. I don't use it, but I just like collecting all these spam emails. It's like, we've detected your virus has 807 viruses. You need to buy your new – upgrade your Norton or whatever it is. And it's like, I have a Mac. You're lying.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's gone from viral, because the story is that Bill Gates gave away the source code, and that's why, because Mac kept their source code to themselves, and that's where you can create an application for Mac if Mac allows it in that respect, because it's got to work hand in hand. But with PC, they just went nuts. And Bruce, here's a good question for you, because you're the Linux man on the table. Is Linux a response to Microsoft?
Excellent question. So there are three major personalities in the computing world. We know of two of them in popular computer lore today. One is Bill Gates and the other is Steve Jobs, and they represent, of course, Apple and Microsoft. There was a third dude, and he's like straight up crazy. I'm talking like real deal productive hippie. And the word productive and the words productive and hippie don't often go together, but they do with Stallman, okay? Stallman was a mad genius, okay? So one of the things you need to have a bona fide operating system, well, the first thing you need is a kernel. You guys know what a kernel is?
No?
A kernel is the center of the system that goes out and grabs all the hardware. Okay? So you got to have all your drivers written, everything written in your kernel. So everything that could be plugged into that computer has to be anticipated by the kernel. And so that was written by the guy, Linus Torvalds, who we know for Linux. And then to have it, so he basically created this super lightweight operating system that was basically just a kernel. There were no programs, there was nothing. So along comes Richard Stallman, and Richard Stallman wrote the first C compiler, so you could compile programs on Linux, okay? And you could begin to port them over in code format from other operating systems, retool them a little bit, and compile them for Linux. Oh. So the compiler was integral. So Richard Stallman, look him up. He's like a madman. He looks like the Unabomber, except he's got hair down and he's fat. He looks like the comic book guy from The Simpsons. And he's invited all over the place to give lectures at like high-end universities in the computer science department and stuff. And if they have anywhere on the property a picture, a plaque, or a statue of Bill Gates, he reflexively spits on it, right? And he lets the cameras take pictures and everything. And the fact that people don't know who Richard Stallman is a bit of a mystery, because he's like the Book of Enoch in the Bible. It's like a big part of the whole foundation missing, man. I hope that was a suitable answer to your question.
Yeah, Mike. Thank you. Yes, it was. It sounds like I'm guessing it's a different guy that I'm thinking of. He was one of the partners with Steve Jobs in the early days of Macintosh. And he sort of got out of it because it got too ruthless or something. And I guess he's like for not free speech, but I can't remember his name. I don't know if it's him or not. So,
classic little bit of folklore about Richard Stallman. And this is, he said it himself right out of his own mouth in multiple interviews. He wrote the C compiler in 678 hours. To write a compiler now, like Sun Microsystems, would put 7-8 engineers on it for 2 years. Okay, it's just maybe more. They'd have a whole project manager and everything. Richard Stallman wrote the C compiler for Linux in 678 hours, and he was on acid the whole time.
Yeah.
True story. Yeah. So well, he's it's a bit like of that folk hero.
It's like that baseball player that what did he achieve? He was on acid for 9 innings, and he no home runs or something like that. He had the perfect game while tripping on acid.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that. I remember that Mexican dude who used to roll his eyes back to communicate with his toad god, and he was a pretty good pitcher too. Remember that?
No, I haven't seen that one. But this guy. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing acid. Like, I think the gentleman in question just was in the right moment and time and having acid. He just, you know, he knew what he was doing. A lot of other people tried to. I'm sure once they heard that, like, well, I'll do that, and they're probably just on top of the man crying, hugging the baseball, going, "My mummy was an egg. My mummy was an egg." So I wouldn't recommend doing. I wouldn't recommend doing that.
So these rat bastards are pretty cornered now, aren't they? I mean, there's nowhere left for them to run.
Well, no, and it's interesting, like, yeah, when I found out that I got the community strike on YouTube, I was a bit flat, let's be fair, and then realized, well, you know, there's other – I guess it's that, like, I don't know if you saw the footage of YouTube nuked Vinny Eastwood's two channels, and he shared a video of him crying, and it's like, obviously he knew it would happen at one point, the possibility. But I can totally empathize with him, where it's you work – well, he worked way more harder than me. But, you know, you work at building a channel and you're doing all this stuff and you're fighting the proverbial dark overlords and everything else like that. And just to have it taken away because you said something that they don't agree with. And it's like, yeah. Oh. And so, yeah, I can see where, you know, maybe it was just a massive lesson for me. Like, yeah, the world is going to crap. But also at the same time, that could be a good thing, because, like, as you said, thank you for reminding me, they are on the back foot because they have to act like the way they do. Now, it's interesting. We were talking about Bruce, you brought up Davos with the World Economic Forum. Everyone, most people know about that now. And you've got the Johnny come latelys, but the new wave of alternative media coming in and going, look at all this. And it's like, you know, because we've been doing it for, you know, decade and a half. It's like, oh, okay. You know, Lou Gradowski, you know, Alex Jones, you know, because we've been talking about this stuff, Bilderberg and everything else like that. But that, for me, that's just petty egoness of like, well, I can't. However, the message is still getting out there. And, like, they think they're in their they, in the inverted commas, the New World Order, just to use a simple label, they live in their own little bubble. They think they're getting away with it. But, you know, the Taliban is back in charge of Afghanistan, and they're going to burn all the poppy fields. And, you know, you take $100 billion out of the black market on this planet, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
That's one thing. Exactly. And you've also got, like, the whole Ukraine thing, which... is it just an internal thing? Because is the Ukraine its own country, or is it part of Russia still, or is it a, you know, it's all this weird stuff. But
yeah,
but Obi-Wan Kenobi starting in 2 days. So I mean, that's what I'm getting at. Where there is the negative, you know, extreme negative that we can see, but there's this potential for extreme positive as well if we know how to tap into that frequency.
Yeah.
Like, your life doesn't suck, does it, Bruce? Apart from when the cat kicks off the monitor.
Oh, I don't modem. Mind the cats at all. No, I don't think in happiness is a Western concept. It's a marketing concept. A good life is one where you have a minimal amount of desire. So everything that you want in your life, a companion, sufficient control of your time, that you can be creative, the ability to make a little bit of money, like everything. This is the most balanced I've ever been in my life. And this, it's a deep, deep sense of security. You know, I live in a home I built, you know,
yeah.
And it, everything around me, I understand because I built it. And so I sit at a desk that is literally one piece of wood. It took four guys to lift. And we just put it down on two columns of earth bags, cemented up the earth bag columns, got it perfectly level. It's like a piece of art. It's like literally I live in the Flintstones, Monty.
Yeah.
Like, and literally.
As well, I would say you don't really have any problems. You have challenges, but they're not great. Massive problems. I mean, you could call them problems, but what I'm getting at is like, so you don't have first world problems, you know, like, oh, my God.
Well, the problems I have would be the fodder for Mexican soap opera writers. But, yeah, I don't really have problems.
Yeah, yeah. You have challenges when it's like, well, you know, the car broken axle, as an example. Okay, that's a challenge because, you know, we're on top of a friggin' mountain. But it's not a problem. Yeah, it's the in this conversation, the label problem and challenge, yeah. It's like in Chinese, they use the same word for crisis and opportunity. which is
great.
Yes, they do. Yeah. So, you know, problem and opportunity, which is great because I have a drinking opportunity.
Yeah. There you go.
By the way, Bruce, Mum's really enjoying the John Edmonds book.
Oh, thank you very much for saying that, Harry. Yeah. My parents enjoyed it quite a bit, too. I think it's a very good introduction to the whole phenomenon of UFOs for people who've never read anything about it, seen a documentary, or are part of the whole ancient alien subcult, you know, live in my mom's basement gaming community.
And also, there's an element of, now, this is not to poo-poo the book, but I am...
Hold on now, Monty.
Well, it's...
Ooh,
it's similar,
Mike Dominance.
Oh, yeah. It's similar, like, Sean David Morton with The Sands of Time. He has a disclaimer of, like, you know, this is true, but if you don't believe it's true, it's a good story. And what I'm getting at is, for people that probably don't believe anything in the book, they'll still enjoy the book because it is it's written well, and there is a story there, and it's like, what? There's all these moments all through the book. And even people could call it fiction. It's like, well, yeah, that's your choice, but still, there is that story. That the story is there.
So, John Edmonds was the first reader of the book, right? I was passing chapters off one at a time until about halfway through, two thirds through, and then I just finished it on my own. But John wasn't really putting it all together as we were going through chapters. And then I went away and I did a whole draft and I sent it to him. And I remember the dude was practically crying when he called me, man. He said, I just can't believe how well this turned out and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's a good story, good timely story. Glad I wrote it. I still think about that dude quite a bit. Mm. Oh, Monty, those dudes, they're all over me, man. I told them what's going on. They still want to meet me. There's two of them. And, you know, side note there, folks. Sorry. Mm. Not so,
Harry, apart from saying your mum's enjoying the book, has she said anything like, you know, the samurai sword story or any tidbits that she's gone, this is interesting, or...
Well, it's more it was the Stardust Rain, of course, is the book. But it's more the fact that, well, we've always been aware of the... paranormal range of paranormal things and entities and portals, so to speak, for mm-hmm. all our lives, but well, since all my life anyway. But her partner Ivan, who's a resilient farmer, who started work at 14, bought his own property at 16 and went on from there, built all the houses, built most of the houses he's lived in and things like that. He was very matter-of-factly, you know, about life, and so it's opening him up to the greater understanding of what actually exists out there, and the dynamic of what we're coming into, because these things, even though they're open, there's certain things that need to be calibrated with our technology to make them work properly.
Yeah, it's a gateway book.
Yeah.
It is a gateway book. It's a bit triggering for dogmatists. If you're really entrenched in a religious belief system, you can see those people popping off in the reviews on Amazon. There's about 260 reviews now. And like, just go focus in on the one-star ones. There's a very small percentage of them, but they're thematically the same.
Yeah,
one guy went so far as to say this was a really good story till he got into all that Eastern shit at the end. I threw it in the garbage so it didn't corrupt any Christians. He actually wrote that and published that review. And people wonder why I have a beef with Christians, because you're closed-minded and you don't even understand what your own book is telling you. That's why.
What I love about it from the reviews, it's either one stars or five stars. There's no three stars. Are like, yeah, it's all right.
No.
it's one or the other.
That's pretty much how I enter people's lives as well, Monty.
You're the bestest person ever. I hate him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes from the same person.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But
that's complicated.
But, you know, free will. That's the other thing about it. It's just.
So what I gotta dig into Harry here a little bit more. I mean, what is this caravan living here? What is this, your version of like Michael Landon in Highway to Heaven? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, well, it gives me an opportunity to be free and just move about, go play music wherever I want, and also get mobile for when I meet the right people, raise the call to arms, so to speak, and deal with what needs to be dealt with in the country. Because
sure,
if we're not, you know, if we all aren't on tenterhooks now, we should be. You know, we should be all aware of what the game is. You know, I've downloaded from the UN website, you know, through the UN codes, they've mapped out every airstrip in Australia.
Yeah,
that tells you something.
So really, they can't win now unless they go to outright thuggery and violence, and they don't even have enough people that demented to do that. Okay, yeah. So this is our Tiananmen moment. Now, Tiananmen is a very inspirational moment in human history. For you youngsters, may have been too young to remember that. It was like 88, 89, but Beijing sent a tank brigade in to clear the square. And there were hundreds of thousands of protesting Chinese students. And upon getting there and surveilling the situation for a day, when the order came down and said, okay, now start the tank column, and if they don't get out of the way, crush them, the commanding officer refused the order and stayed in Tiananmen Square to protect the students. They had to bring a second brigade of psychotic soldiers in, okay, in tanks. And then the first brigade that refused the order, that dude's soldiers all stayed loyal to him. And there's two Chinese military brigades in a standoff in Tiananmen Square. I swear to God, the Chinese foreshadowed the 21st century.
Yeah, look, we all know that footage of that one guy. I think he's got his shopping with him, and he's just standing in front of the tank. I'm not sure if he's if he's yelling at him. But obviously, he connected with the crew in the first tank because, you know, if he was psychotic and whatever, they just would have blown him away. But he just stood there because of the it was a long shot. You don't know if he was yelling at the tank or whatever, but I think eventually he walks away or they go around. I can't remember. The standoff didn't last too long. But that's an inspiration. Like, I know that footage because that footage is used in a film clip by Sepultura, who are a thrash band from Brazil, and the song is Refuse, Resist. And it's basically against corruption, which is interesting because the left kept saying we have to stop corruption, the right are insane and everything else like that, while doing all this wacky, stupid stuff that is destroying the planet. Like here in Australia, we've got rid of our right of center conservative party, which were run by idiots, but now we've got the insane left in, where they want to push all the climate change stuff, which is going to push, you know, close down coal stuff, so energy prices are going to go through the roof, brownouts and lose power, and join the HWO's pandemic treaty, and the WF, and apparently, and there was rumblings that they're linked to China and all this stuff. But in a way, which I find interesting as well, is like, if you look at it a certain way, these people are trying to get caught. They may not know it, but it's like they're going to go, oh, we can keep doing this. Okay. And they keep going. And as Bruce just said, that they have to cross the line of going full brutal, you know, that combat boot on the face of humanity for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
That's not, if they're running out of money, they can't buy the thugs. And a lot of people are going to just walk away. Like, as an example, if there's ever a civil war in the United States, what do you think is going to happen to all the military bases around the world from the US? Half the soldiers are going to go home and defend their own families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a call out to any Russian comms specialist out there who has the coordinates for laying the missiles down.
you know, there is that Davos group in Switzerland at the moment, if you want to think about just programming a couple.
I'd like to also point out everyone's opinion is their own here on Revolution Radio. well, actually, let's bring in UFOs with that, because they just had a Senate hearing. Was it a Senate? Yeah, in Washington anyway. They were talking about UFOs or unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAVs or whatever it's freaking called. They just changed the name so they can get around it. Apart from, they skipped over the fact is like, oh, yeah, we were lying for 7 decades. By the way, yeah, these things are real, but we haven't investigated them. But they actually, in the general public public discourse, they're, in the 70s or the late 60s, about 3 or 8 UFOs just flew over the United States and turned off all the nuclear power silos. The nuclear missile silos. And, of course, the military-industrial complex would have freaked out because in the 60s, one of them is like $1 billion in the 60s. And these UFOs, and there's been other instances where UFOs around nuclear power, nuclear-powered missiles and all, you know, atom bombs and stuff, metaphorically, they just flick a switch and just turn all this hardware into scrap metal.
Yeah, it happened in Russia too, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's just not like...
So that was, the nuclear facility story was part of the disclosure in Washington last week, right? They actually admitted that, which was a huge, huge admission.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting because the huge admission of like, oh, they've been saying for 70 years that they don't exist, but they've skipped over that. And it's like, well, wait, hang on. You've been lying. But saying that, that is because, of course, the United States are going, oh, what is the national security aspect of all this? It's like, yeah, if there's an alien invasion and the United States figures out a way of defending itself, there's still 198 countries on the planet. I don't think this is going to work out well.
That's the good news, really, because what it's doing is it's giving those that read between the lines that there's a wave of change happening, that makes people become aware that there's more going on than what we're told.
Well, yeah, with transparency through hypocrisy, that's what we're seeing as well. Where, I mean, as we were talking about the food shortages, like they can't blame COVID because of the supply chain anymore, because I'm guessing most of the planet's like, oh, we're living with COVID now. However, all these food shortages, the Ukraine, they're one of the major wheat producers, and the knock-on effect. However, in a way, it's showing the stupidity of forced globalism. And so now what actually is happening is, you know, hopefully some people are realizing, oh, hang on, maybe we should be not totally self-sustainable, but we should have our own car industry here and stuff like that. And you can see it with Russia, where all the Western companies are pulling out and turning Russia into a paradise. No Facebook, no Pornhub, no all this stuff. Like, you know, this country is much better now since the West has gone away.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, when Kissinger is saying give Putin what he wants, I mean, there's something to be said there. That's Henry Kissinger, right?
Oh, yeah, that's so, big. Yeah.
Yeah? Did you hear that, Harry?
No, I haven't heard that.
Kissinger spoke at Davos, and he said, give Putin Donbass and Crimea, get the hell out of there and cut your losses. If you continue on with this nonsense, the consequences will be devastating for the West.
Mm. And wasn't that what Putin actually just wanted? He wanted Donbass, you know, where the actual Nazis in the Ukraine were genociding Russian people. And Crimea, yeah, they don't... I don't believe Russia wants the entire country. They just want their bits that, you know, especially, well, they all speak Russian anyway. And what are the percentage of Russian, not immigrants, but the Ukraine's mainly, 75% Russian, basically. The dog agrees with me.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to let him out.
No, you know me and my cat. I understand.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's off. I'm thinking of getting another one. And I joined an adoption group in Costa Rica on Facebook. Hey, you know what? People crap on Facebook all the time. But if you use it intelligently, it is one of the most practical tools out there. I kid you not, man. I've bought so much stuff in Costa Rica from Marketplace on Facebook because you know the seller right away, right? And then you can look within a certain geographic circumference, like 10 kilometers and stuff like that, like furniture, knickknacks, stuff you need. Anyways, yeah.
No, it makes sense. Like, I mean, there's a reason, like, the idea of a social network platform makes sense because, like, on Facebook, people say, oh, get rid of your Facebook. So, like, yeah, but 80% of my life is actually people that I haven't spoken to for a decade. I can still see what they're up to, and if I want to reach out to them, I can. Type thing, as well like the big three, which would be Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can see everyone usually has one of each, or not one of each, but at least one. I wouldn't be kind of hard to see if anyone, like even my parents, have Facebook pages or profiles, and it's so they can connect with people and share stuff and everything else like that. Now, should a private company go insane and control and dictate what we can say, or do we give it to the government? So there's like a national, do we nationalize it? But then you see what the government's doing anyway, and that won't work. And I think Musk buying Twitter it leans towards the positive more than the negative.
Yeah, I see it that way too. Let's face it, this world ain't going to be right till the MAGA king sits on his throne again.
Yeah. Actually, maybe not. Yeah, God Emperor MAGA king. Really? I don't see it. He had his chance. Let's pick someone else. Even Razor Fist has been mentioning that he was I think he was bored at home.
Who is this fellow Razor Fist that you keep mentioning?
He's a mid-30 to 35-year-old metalhead from Arizona. And he goes on epic rants, and he's very funny. That's basically it, really. He just he comes from the comic book world, and he's a gamer, but he likes his metal, and he does rants, and he makes good points using comedy. And like the one he pointed out, I was having interaction with people about Trump. Trump's learned things from his first go, but he's still surrounded by idiots, basically. That's the premise of what his latest tweet is.
Is his YouTube channel called The Rageaholic?
Yes, that's the one.
Oh, thanks, Monty.
Yep. After the show, just find a subject that you'll think about. You know, there'll be a lot. he just rants, and after two of them, you go, okay, I get what he's doing.
Wow, 326,000 subscribers.
Yeah, he lives in Arizona, and he loves his weapons, and always wears leather gloves and sunglasses, and just rants. He can go for up to 3 hours if you let him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's he's been on Steven Crowder, as well as Friday Night Tights and all those shows, just because he's unique. So, I get the metal side of things. But it's funny. I'm trying to think of any of his jokes now. But he's good. Yeah, you'll like him, hopefully.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll take a look, Monty. Thanks for the tip, man.
There you go. The Rageaholic on YouTube and BitChute, because YouTube likes to censor. Ah, dear me. Should we start a betting pool on how long Biden will last? Because that means Kamala Harris is next.
So if the Republicans don't sweep the midterms, I don't think anyone in America will be able to say with a straight face that the elections are fair. I think 2,000 mules did its job, And I think it just turned half of America, probably I really think about 70% of America now. You know, I think a lot of people feel the same way as Tesla. I always voted Democrat. Now I'm voting Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anything fishy happens in November, it's on. I don't see how they could stand by and tolerate that, right?
Well, go ahead.
And then the real question is, what happens in 2024? Because truth be told, Monty, I agree with you that Trump is not suitable for a second term.
Hmm.
You know, I think he was needed to desacralize their institutions in Washington and the seat of power, and he did that. He invited a lot of negative energy toward it, right? And I don't think the people realized what they were doing. And it can't recover now. No matter who sits in that White House, they will be treated like a piece of dog dung now. Can't
yes.
be helped, right? Mm. Because that's the new low, and that's the way society and politics work. So for the Republicans to be viable, they have to find somebody. I'd say go with DeSantis at this point, Ron mm-hmm. DeSantis out of Florida, right?
Well, if you look at both sides of the aisle, just go and lead, you know, be neutral and look at are there any leaders? Like Rand Paul's doing well, but I don't see him being a standout leader in that respect. But DeSantis seems to be leading, being the governor of Florida. He's working for his people. I did have a question that I wanted to put forward on the show. We've got 10 minutes, so this will work. It's fascinating how people, you know, apart from being not Trump, how is he better than Trump? Like, even if you hate Trump and he was, you know, egotistical and a New York billionaire real estate mogul, all that type of stuff, and he hurt the country and he did all these bad things. Yeah, cool. How can you not look at what Biden's done in this year and a half and say he's better than Trump? He's actually worse from a neutral perspective. Because you can see where the country is now.
I totally agree. Right? And I think it has to do with emotion overriding reason. See, we're in the midst of a great existential debate. You know, it's the end of the world for everybody in one way, shape, or form. If you're a liberal humanist and an atheist, it's the end of the world because human beings, through their religious beliefs, have terrorized Mother Earth. And if you're on the other end of the spectrum, it's your end times. You're waiting for the final Mahdi, or you're waiting for the Jesus, or you're waiting for the Mashiach. It's just ridiculous. Nobody's just living, you know. Everybody's just like sitting at a subway stop now. Oh, here it comes. It's the end of the world. Let's have a big hug, you know. And there's very few people planning to go forward. And the environmental people, they're as entrenched as the religious people. It's the ultimate cosmic standoff here. Everything is woven in perfectly into two sides now. It's like the whole model of Boolean thinking is being challenged and exacerbated, brought to the forefront of the Matrix.
Well, I'm going to start referring to, because the Australian government, which is now a Labor government, they won the election. Oh, the climate change wars have now ended. It's like, yeah, but we lost. I'm just going to refer to these climate change idiots as science deniers, because if you look at the true science or other science, it's carbon, man-made carbon is heating the earth or some, you know, changing the climate. Well, that doesn't explain what the sun's doing. How other planets in the system are having climate change. You know what I mean? Like, they're not looking at science.
It's important to point out that, you know, at the deepest levels of what's going on in this turning, when they say carbon, they mean us.
Hmm.
We're made of carbon, right? We're everything. It's a carbon-based life system. So when you start using a word like carbon all the time, and the people at the top, they know what they're doing. The minions don't. They're just lackeys. They, you know, they're like Trudeau. They get the script. They read it a couple times in the mirror, masturbate, and go out and do it on a podium in front of cameras.
Yeah, read the script, not masturbate. I just wanted to point that out.
Well, both. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually.
But the people that really know what's going on, there's a reason they're using the word carbon. And as you see us moving more and more into the digital realm, you know, silicon is the only other thing that could support a life system as complex as the carbon system on the planet. So,
Yeah, thank you, Harry. He muted, so there you go.
Jesus, that's quite a demonstrative mute. Seems counterproductive.
Well, no, I think it was his phone ringing, then he muted. Anyway.
I see. Okay, all right. So that's what we're up against. We're the carbon folks. Never forget that, okay? So I'm building a wood oven, and I'm going to run a pipe and to get the smoke away from my balcony. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to build an option so that wood smoke can go into a small greenhouse under 3-millimeter poly. And I'm going to do a little experiment, like, you know, 100 square feet getting the smoke, the carbon, and 100 square feet right beside it, same vegetables, not getting the carbon, and we'll see which ones grow quicker. I'm telling you right now, the whole thing is a scam. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's right up there with flat earth. Flat earth might be the corollary to climate, to global warming.
Well, you're familiar with Sir David Attenborough.
I am.
Do you remember, is it David Bellamy?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason you don't hear about Bellamy anymore, because he went against the global warming narrative before he died. I think he died.
The head of Greenpeace has said it's complete bullshit. The former head of Greenpeace.
Yeah, because it sounds simple, but it doesn't make sense. Like part of science, that whole science denying thing. Explain what happens when a volcano goes off, because it spews out a hundred years worth of carbon in 2 days. Like, what do we do? Tax the mountain? Like, it doesn't. It's all blah blah blah. We need renewables. Now I'm for adaptation to the environment. But they're pushing it, and they want everyone to get rid of petrol cars by 2050, and we'll go to windmills and everything else like that. And you know, if you're listening to Revolution Radio, you know about free energy devices that a 16-year-old has created in their garage and then put it up on YouTube. How many people have died because they've invented a car that runs on water? Recently, we were shown. I think it was on Andrew Bartz's call-in show, that air-compressed cars could be used. And that idea is 100 years old. And the photo that was shown, it was like, what's all that around the engine? Oh, magnets to help torque the air and to make it spin even further. Like, as I said a couple of shows ago, I think it's still on YouTube. Definitely on Rumble, Odyssey, and BitChute. But, you know, there's fidget spinners, which is one of the useless toys ever made. By using 5 magnets, 3 on the fidget spinner and 2 magnets to propel it, it made the fidget spinner spin, all by using magnets. Now, we get told, nah, we have to, we need windmills. And as I've said before, to save humanity, the ideas are already out in the general public.
It's always been there. We've always had the option. That's what's so curious about the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. There's about 12 key decisions that are literally 50-50. It's Edison, it's Tesla, it's this, it's that. And in every instance, they make the wrong decision. It's statistically impossible, right? It was the beginning of the monopoly, the beginning of the mafia takeover of the world, the capitalist mafia takeover of the world.
The crony capitalism, the oligarchs. It's the whole thing with carbon coal-fueled power plants. Install scrubbers like that will capture the carbon before it's released into the air. Like, they have the technology. I don't think they're that expensive, but that won't work with the narrative. How are we going to control? Like, this footage of this git from the WEF, the World Economic Forum, and he wants to have a personalized tracker on your carbon footprint.
Yeah.
So they know exactly what you, how much fuel you're using, what car you're using, what food you're buying, and all this stuff. And so they personalize all the carbon footprint on you, so they can actually go, oh no, you're an enemy of the planet.
Yeah,
absolute bollocks.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely bollocks, old boy. And that it's all about control and everything else like that. But they've been pushing it, you know, global warming and climate change. And unfortunately, like, the previous government here in Australia were against it. but they didn't show why. And so it's the media pushing it's, oh, no, no, it's carbon, climate change. And they've just said the lie so many times people believe it. And, I remember talking to my dad about Nikola Tesla and a free energy device. And, you know, magnets is a free energy device. Oh, people said, oh, well, the magnets will run out of charge. Yeah, then 80 years from now, get new magnets. It's not that hard.
But,
yeah, you know, science. Let's try it.
Yeah. You guys prepared for this food apocalypse, man? You got your chicks hatched?
Yep.
You got your fertilizer down? Harry, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, I've got a tranquilizer dart.
I'm not sure how that's linked. Sheep.
If I only take one leg at a time, you see, and then you know.
Yes. The flocks are like Harry's lost a leg again. Well, Jim disappeared yesterday, last night. I'm not going in that. Yeah.
I do have somewhere safe to stay if the crap hits the fan. Let's put it that way. But, and fully armored too. So not prepared to.
But will it get to that level? I mean, something's going to happen, yes. I don't see us turning into a Mad Max world.
No, but I think when the resistance breaks, you know, when you decide that you can't go anywhere and people start invading on your property, it's a different story, you know?
Yeah. Just put on a mute, son. What I find interesting is, like, if not an EMP, but if all the power goes down, what happens to us spiritually if we don't have that EMF frequency, you know, the noise that we're surrounded in? Do we tap into our higher selves and evolve?
Possibly.
I think that's a yes on my end. No, it simply won't work like that. But it will be a sort of people will be listening to themselves talk, and they will have to start the inner work, shadow work from there. Yeah, they won't have the distraction. Likely.
Yeah, I didn't word it correctly, but I'm on the right track.
So. Yes. Yeah. Technically, you can talk to your higher self anytime just by talking to yourself.
But you won't have this shh in the background. So, the system crashes, and then, two-thirds of the population is like, the higher self goes, finally, stop doing that. What was that noise? I heard something.
Well, ultimately, the hypothesis I've put out there is what I ultimately believe in, is that we use nanotechnology to attenuate the rocks, to restore the once known or unseen, as it was known in the Bible, the world, you know. It can happen. It will happen in our lifetime.
Right on, Harry.
Right at the end. What a wonderful way to end Planet Colony. Thank you, Raz. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Ballsman. Ballsman? Thank you, all the men, all the women, everything else. Like, thank you for listening. This has been Planet Collingwood. We shall be back in 6 days and 22 hours on Facebook in about a week. And everyone stay awesome. I dare you. I love you from afar. We'll catch you later.
Thank you, Monty.
Thank you, Harry.
Thank you,
Bruce.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's hyphen, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school.
I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Zero.